Yes, Lord, worthy is your name, and it's because of you that we are made worthy. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill our hearts and help us to see why we believe what we believe, and how each of us has a story, has an experience, has an example of life transformation to share with others. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we continue our series on why I believe, and I want you to turn in your prayer books to page 55, just as a brief review. The seven reasons I believe are found in our prayer book in the liturgy, in the prayer that we always pray when we do Eucharistic prayer, letter B. Page 55, the priest praise these words. He says, "We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation." That was the first reason we looked at, why to believe, nature itself. "In the calling of Israel to be your people." That's a second reason. We'll look at that in a few weeks. "In your word spoken through the prophets," the word of God. We spent two Sundays on that. That's a third reason. "Above all, the word made flesh, Jesus your Son." We just got done talking about Jesus as the chief reason to believe. That was last week. "In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you." The us is the church. That's another reason to believe. "In him you have brought us out of error into truth." We've talked about truth also as a reason to believe. That's a sixth reason to believe. "And then out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life." What's the seventh reason to believe? And actually for today, obviously, we're only at reason number five. But for today, we're talking about life transformation, life change. When I look at my own life, when I look at the lives of billions of people around the world who've been touched and changed by Jesus Christ, that is a major reason to believe. Now, what does it mean to be born again? Jesus said, "Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You must be born of water and born of the Spirit. There must be a spiritual rebirth. In order to have a spiritual rebirth, we need to recognize first who Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. When we say that Jesus is Lord, that means we recognize that he is Lord of heaven and he's Lord of earth, and that he is the master of all things. And that means that we need to follow him as our Lord. The second thing we recognize is that Jesus is our Savior. What does it mean that Jesus is our Savior, that we are sinners, that we need his forgiveness, and we cannot save ourselves apart from him and his work on the cross? Once I recognize who Jesus is, that he is my Lord and Savior, and I put my trust in his Lordship and as my Savior, and I promise to follow him as best as I can the rest of my life, that's when we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and now we're on that journey. But here's the thing. If we're truly born again, it isn't simply putting our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's also going to be something. There's going to be a change in our lives. There's going to be life transformation. If I put my faith in Jesus Christ and there's no evidence of any life transformation, then I have to question, am I really born again? Now, one of the most frustrating things for me, but it's part of our world, and Jesus said it would be so, is that there are a number of people, not here in this church, maybe in our church history, but God forbid now, but there are a number of people in church or go to church that they come to church, but they just haven't gotten it. The spiritual light bulb has not been turned on. And so that's why we always have to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We always have to be in prayer for our family members, that the light bulb, the spiritual light bulb, will come on. And then once it does, there is going to be life transformation. Now, each of you is here because God in Christ has changed your lives. Everyone here has a grace story, a testimony. Now, someone has said that you really can't have a testimony unless you have a test and unless there's lots of moaning, okay? And that is true, because in life, we are going to have, everyone doesn't have a perfect life. Everyone's going to have some trials and tribulations, some issues, some struggles. That is what it means to be human. But it's how you get through those struggles and those trials that makes all the difference. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see that life transformation, and then we're going to be able to share it. We're going to bear witness, to testify to what Jesus has done. Everyone has a story to tell. I want you to quickly turn in your Bibles to 11:62, to Galatians chapter 1, because the Bible is filled with life stories of transformation. Paul is chief among those. Page 1162, Galatians chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 11 through 24. The Apostle Paul writes these words, chapter 1, verse 11, 1164. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. That means it didn't come from man, it wasn't made up by man, it came directly from God. Verse 12, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, revelation means the process of uncovering that which is already hidden. In other words, you couldn't find it, you wouldn't know it, unless it was shown to you. And so Paul is saying that I came to Christ because he revealed himself to me. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Now, what is Paul doing? He is sharing what his life was like before he came to know Jesus Christ. What was his life like? His life was all about his religion. He was a faithful Jew. In fact, we read in Corinthians that he was a Pharisee. He was very learned. Whereas Peter was a fisherman from Galilee, from the backwoods, so to speak, Paul was a man of first class in terms of his social standing. He was devoted to his religion. He was highly religious. And he persecuted the first Christians. Not only did he persecute them, he not only had them arrested, but he had some of the first Jewish believers killed. That was his former manner of life before he came to know the Lord. Now let's continue reading. Verse 15, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased. See, God had a plan for Paul. Even though he was in all this sin, God has a plan for everyone. That's why we're not to judge people, because today's sinner could become tomorrow's saint. So God was pleased, verse 16, to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, that is, with other human beings, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. So Paul is saying that he explains his life before he came to Christ, then he came to Christ. Then after he came to Christ, he spent some time away with the Lord learning about the faith. And then his life transformation was shown and how he lived. Let's continue reading. I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, which is another name for Peter, and stayed with him 15 days, but I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 21, then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me. So now, Paul's life is not only changed in that he's born again, he knows who Jesus is, he's no longer going to serve his religion, he's going to serve his Lord, but because he's obeying the call that God has placed on his life, he's now preaching the good news to the Gentiles. Many are coming to Christ, and not only are many coming to Christ, but the rest of the church is being encouraged. They're glorifying God because of what God has done in Paul's life. You see, the purpose of our personal testimony, the purpose of our grace story is twofold. First, it is to bear witness to the hope that's within you. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Begins in your heart. Sanctify means to set apart Jesus Christ as your Lord. Right? Always being ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and respect. In other words, always do it in a meek and mild form, in reverence and respect to others. We are to give a defense for the hope that's within us. That is one reason for our testimony. The second reason is to encourage others in the faith. Just like Paul's testimony was encouraging others, they were glorifying God because what God did in Paul's life. That's the purpose of our testimony. Now, what does a testimony consist of? Three parts: your life before you knew Jesus, how you came to Jesus, and how Jesus changed your life after you came to know Jesus. And usually there should be in that testimony, and it could only be, just needs to be about 3 minutes, what we need to understand is that a testimony doesn't have to be long or lengthy. We need to think about it. Your homework for this coming week and the weeks to come is think about your own testimony. Think about how you were before you knew Jesus. How you came to Christ. How did he change your life? Those are very important things to reflect on. And then to be sensitive to how maybe God would have you share that testimony. The other thing too is usually it's good to have some issue that you were dealing with in your life. And so I want you to, all of you to think about that. I've invited one of our members to share their testimony. And I'm going to invite Bob Klontz up now to the lectern. Each service we've had a different member of our parish serve or share that testimony. They're all unique. Some are dramatic, some are not dramatic. You don't have to have a dramatic life story to have a good testimony. It's whatever Jesus has done in your heart. I don't have a dramatic testimony, but I still have a testimony. And just for example, one issue that I dealt with growing up was that when I was at school, if someone said something to me negative or made fun of me, I would be quick to snap back with my tongue. I would be quick to point out my brother's problems with my tongue. I had a real problem not being able to control my tongue. Now I use it for good things, right? But back then I used it for bad things. And after I came to know Jesus as the result of my parents sharing Christ with me and giving me that example, and I got into his word, I started to find out things that I needed to change in my own life. And one of the things was my tongue. And so James chapter 3 tells us, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to control the whole body as well. And so I had to control my tongue, and the Lord has shown me that through high school, through college, and I'm a lot better at it. And thank God, because when you wear this collar, everything you say, even your looks, are magnified 100-fold. And so that served me well, but that's an example of my testimony, something Christ did to change me from the inside out. So I'd like to have Bob now come up and share how God has changed his life.
Three-minute testimony, I gotta apologize because that's not gonna happen. This, I actually mentioned to my wife that Father Ward wanted me to give a 10-minute version of my testimony, 10-minute version only. My wife said, shoot for 5, you'll get 10. So I'm gonna do my best. Growing up, my family really didn't attend church very often. So I knew who God was, but I never really allowed him into my heart. Graduating high school, I had dreams like most people do. I wanted to get a good job, get married, have children, live happily ever after. But that's not the way things turn out in my life. My first marriage... I had three wonderful girls, Brielle, Brittany, and Janelle, who absolutely mean the world to me. During that time, I also acquired my job. Most of you may or may not know that I'm a police officer. I was very happy with the fact that I did become a police officer. But my marriage during that time was quite chaotic. We fought a lot of arguing, a lot of strife in the marriage, and we just could not get along. I didn't want my children to grow up thinking that this is what a relationship was supposed to be like in marriage. We did end up divorcing. She obtained custody of our girls. I had visitation. I would see them several times a week. I also had overnighters and so forth. But that absolutely crushed me that I didn't. I couldn't spend as much time as I wanted to with my daughters. Moving on in life, I had pretty low self-esteem as far as trying to find someone else. My thoughts were, I'm a divorced father of three children. Who's going to want me? So needless to say, I really didn't set much of a standard for myself after that. I did meet a young woman after the first marriage. She did have a reputation of cheating. I figured, well, you know, maybe she wouldn't anymore, so forth. We ended up getting married, and a year and 4 months later, I ended up finding her cheating with my best friend. So needless to say, that was the end of my second marriage. So at this point in my life, you know, things weren't looking too bright. Also, during this time, my mother, who was very precious to me, she died from cancer. She was one of the only people in my family I could really talk to because I wasn't really connected to my family very, very well. Also during this time, things weren't going so well with my job. The administration at that time, I didn't see eye to eye with a lot of things and that they proposed, a lot of their goals. And I voiced my opinions at times, and obviously weren't well received. I do remember the chief at that time saying, he didn't care for me too much, and he actually said outright that as long as I am chief, he will never get anywhere in this department. So he will never move up. He will never be promoted. So he kind of blackballed me. I was kind of targeted for failure. It was during my life through all of this, I would find myself at home alone just crying constantly at night. I would never show it. I would never talk to people about it because I was a police officer. You know, I had to be strong. I couldn't show my feelings, so forth. I remember one night I hit a low point that in my life. I was so sad. I remember sitting in my living room in my recliner. I was just sobbing and sobbing. I could not stop crying. It took me a long time to admit this, that I can't say that that there wasn't any points in my life that I did not consider the fact that, you know, suicide might be better. But there was three reasons why I would never do that, and that was my three daughters. You know, the gifts that God gave me. That night, the spring summer of 2001, sobbing my eyes out, crying. And I just started looking to the Lord, and I just said, God, why is this happening to me? You know, I'm a good guy. I don't understand. And I actually began pleading with God. I said, please, help me. I cried myself to sleep that night. And what happened next has just been burned into my mind ever since. This is absolutely amazing to me. That night I had a dream. A person came to me. I remember seeing billowing clouds, and this person standing in front of me was an adult, cloaked in white robe, and brown hair down to the shoulders, but I couldn't see a face. And I had this sensation, this feeling that came over me. It was a wondrous feeling of joy. And I actually thought that this person, you know, could this be my mom? Because it's just a feeling I had, this wonderful feeling that I had inside. This person picked me up and cradled me in their arms. A grown man picked me up as a grown man and held me in their arms. And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, just like a parent would pick up their child. I bawled like you wouldn't believe. The next morning, I wake up, and I have no idea at that time what even happened, but I woke up, and it felt like somebody just took the world and dumped it off my shoulders. I felt absolutely sensational. So, on goes life. And it was a very short time later, I would say probably weeks, that things started to change in my life. I meet up with this wonderful young Christian woman. What's the heck's her name? It's my beautiful and wonderful wife, Krista, that I meet up with. And we started dating. and then we eventually got married. She had two boys, John and Andy. After marriage, I actually began going back to court to try to get custody of my three girls. And some of you may or may not know, but in New York State especially, that's not going to happen. You know, a father getting custody of his children is like unprecedented. Before I would go to court, my wife would pray with me before I would go. And do you believe that I got custody of all three of my children, all three of my daughters? So now I had this wonderful wife. I had the family that I wanted, three daughters, two boys. And now things started to suddenly look up at my job. Administration changed, and I got promoted to a narcotics detective. 1 year later, just over 1 year later, I actually got a second promotion and moved up to lieutenant. So now things are just absolutely looking wonderful in my life. I started attending church regularly, and I'm telling you, the blessings that God has given me were just absolutely astounding. Psalm 145 states that the Lord is near to those who call on him. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will hear their cry, and he will save them. There is no one that will ever convince me or tell me in my life that that person that came to me in that dream that night wasn't the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to save me, and he was sent by the Father. And I praise God, and I thank Jesus for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, and thank you for, because that is, you know, when you get up and you share that, again, it's not about bringing attention to ourselves, but we all have that story to share. And the key is to know what it is, to know what God has done in our lives through Christ, and then to just be available for that time, not to just go and, you know, just go to the first person, wherever, just, no. But it's there for you to bear testimony of what God has done in your life and to encourage other believers as well. So I want to thank Bob again for sharing that, for being vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable in that to do that. But man, it's an encouragement. And the good news is that we all have a story to tell. So your homework is to think about it. If you haven't done this before, to think about what is your personal testimony. And to remember that that is just one more reason to believe. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for what you have done in our lives. And I know that everybody here is on different spiritual in the same spiritual journey, but at different places. And I just pray that you would continue to work in us so that you would help us to grow into maturity, help us to grow deeper into a faith with you, help us to reflect that in how we live our lives. And we especially pray for our loved ones and family members and friends who don't know you, that you would bring into our hearts their remembrance each and every day, that we would pray for them. Because for all of us, we are here because other people prayed for us. And those prayers cannot be hindered by Satan. Those prayers cannot be hindered by anybody in this life. And so help us to be people of prayer, not just people of faith, but people of prayer. We pray too, Lord, that you would help us to continue to be sensitive to all those that come into our path, that we might reach out in love to them. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.